Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 31st. A program that would offer over 100 fellowships for would-be teachers in rural areas of the state has cleared its first committee at the state capitol. As Benta Berkland reports, it's part of an effort to curb Colorado's growing teacher shortage.
The measure aims to encourage colleges to partner with local school districts. It would give student teachers $10,000 in their final year of student teaching in college. And in return, they would commit to teaching in that school district with a guaranteed job. Colleges and universities in the state would split the cost. Democratic Representative Millie Hamner of Dillon is one of the main sponsors.
It does provide financial incentives for teachers to become teachers, and it also incentivizes them to stay in rural districts.
Republican Representative Paul Lundeen of Monument says the larger question is how to get more people interested in teaching in the first place.
I'm not at all convinced that this is the sort of program that at the end of the day solves our problems.
Lundeen is backing the bill for now. According to state education officials, nearly 17% of teachers leave the profession after 5 years. The big factors, they say, are low pay and the demands of the job. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A new study is challenging the conventional wisdom about spring runoff in Colorado. A dirty little secret about how fast rivers will rise as the snowpack melts that has little to do with temperature. H2O Radio has the story.
Mountain snowpack around the globe is an important source of water. In the spring, it melts and flows into rivers and reservoirs for cities and farms to use. But there's a growing problem that's sweeping in and causing snowpack worldwide to melt faster.
It looks apocalyptic. Big orange or red sky. It really does look Martian.
That's Jeff Deems, a research scientist at the University of Colorado. And what he's describing are dust storms, layers of wind-blown particles that are landing on mountain peaks and leaving them coated with a dark layer of sand and soot. As anyone who has sat in a car with black upholstery on a hot summer day will attest, black objects absorb more heat than lighter ones, so by darkening the snow, it's melting it faster.
We put dust on the snowpack, which enhances the absorption of that solar radiation, then that just pushes on the gas pedal for snowmelt.
In a recent study looking at the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, Deems and lead author Tom Painter of NASA found that the amount of dust on mountain snowpack will control how fast rivers rise in the spring, regardless of air temperature. And the more dust there is, the faster the runoff. The particles are carried to the Rockies by winds coming from the southwest when deserts are drying out. The dust events are frequently on the leading edge of a storm and can be pretty dramatic, closing interstates and making it hard to see and breathe. The dust will get deposited in the mountains and quickly become buried by fresh snow, but
the sun can kind of see through up to about a foot of snow. So if it's greater than 30 centimeters or 12 inches of new snow, then that dust is just buried in there, lurking, waiting for the melt season to arrive.
The thing is that these dust storms mostly happen in the spring, so the particulates tend to be near the surface of the snowpack and are deposited in a series of layers. Once the runoff season starts, the snow will melt down and then hit a layer of dust. The water will drain away, but the dust piles up, making the surface darker and darker as each layer is revealed. This darkening supercharges the melting, and the pattern continues until the snowpack is gone. And the problem is getting worse because there's more dust than there used to be because of less rain with a warming climate and more land development that's exposing bare soil.
Those soil surfaces are naturally armored by crust, lichen and moss combinations that make this black armored surface. And those crusts are virtually impervious to wind erosion. They're very strong.
Except that is when they're being crushed. Beginning back in the mid to late 1800s, soil started getting disturbed by people grazing animals.
Since then, we've got a wide array of disturbance agents, recreational activities, oil and gas exploration and development, suburban development, dry land farming, etc. All of these activities disturb the soil crust and then make the fine-grained substrates available for wind transport.
And there are various climate change components. As we continue in this warming and drying trajectory in the Southwest, plants that might have anchored the soil are less likely to get the water they need to germinate and grow. But the study doesn't suggest that air temperature can be ignored. It contributes somewhat, but Deem says their research finds dust is the dominant force shaping the pace of spring runoff. Also, temperature does control whether precipitation falls as snow or rain, so ultimately it regulates how much snow there is to melt. All of this has important implications for water managers. The snowpack is Colorado's biggest reservoir, holding way more water than surface storage. If it runs off faster, it can be a challenge to store it all. And in order to have water available for later in the summer, it's vital that the snowpacks stick around for as long as possible. Water managers watch spring runoff to decide when and how much water to allocate to users, to store, to release from dams. Deem says that if we shorten the snowmelt period by increasing the rate, they'll have a much narrower window of time over which to make those decisions. So what can be done about the dust? Studies have shown that soil crust can regenerate if left alone, but land use development, along with drier conditions because of climate change, could make that recovery tougher. The report was published in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. For H2O Radio, I'm Franny Halperin.
The Republican-controlled Senate has passed a bill that allows special districts to once again collect retail pot taxes. It fixes a drafting error from the last session that wasn't fixed during a special session called by Governor John Hickenlooper. Benta Berkland has more.
The problem stemmed from an expansive bipartisan bill to fund rural hospitals last year. It inadvertently prevented 8 special districts from collecting sales taxes on marijuana. Voters had already approved it as a way of funding everything from museums to transit. The governor says this latest bill is essentially the same legislation he wanted passed in September.
Well, if you're asking me what the difference is, I was going to ask you the same thing, and maybe you can ask them. Anyway, we're glad that it's done. We all have to resist those opportunities to come back and fight or poke someone over what happened.
Some Republicans still oppose the move and say any tax policy change that results in more money needs voter approval. The bill does give the special district some discretion to decide whether collecting the tax again is constitutional. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.